Praise the Lord. Thank you, everybody. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Aren't you thankful for His presence? As we're turning in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. We'll read down through verse 28, 29. I want to say what a privilege it is to be here at Harvest Ministries. Heard so much about this great church known. Give honor to our bishop for the Eddings, Pastor McCoy. Don't we love our pastor? Amen. And I enjoy I love to see young people worshiping the Lord. And Sean, hasn't he just done great with his music and drummer, guitar, and organ playing? And I'm honored to have my wife here with me. What a great privilege to have her and my kids, Michaela, Savannah, Lewis, Eden. And glad they got to come and be with me this weekend. So thankful. There's nothing greater than the kingdom of God and then to have great family. And Brother and Sister McCoy are our family. And I tell you what, families, what you've got in life, you ought to treat them dear and hold them near. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22. Just a simple thought tonight, a little lesson I want to share with you and challenge you. I believe that it all hinges, and the reason that we're here is because of faith that we have in God. Amen. Are you a believer today? Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe. And so if you're going to be saved, you got to be a believer. Amen. However, there are different levels of faith. Scripture says the devil's a believer. Amen. And yet he's not saved. And I believe there's different levels of faith and that we can walk at different places. But I believe God is a level of faith that he always hears and answers. I want to talk to you today about that. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. Matthew 15, 22, and if you're there, say amen. All right. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. There we go. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, what did he say? O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. A lady here whose daughter is demonically possessed comes to Jesus, and he gives her the greatest compliment I think that anyone could have as a believer in Jesus Christ. He says, great is thy faith. And for a few minutes, I want to talk to you on the characteristics of great faith. The characteristics of great faith. Why don't you just grab the hand of the individual next to you, if it's appropriate, and lift it towards heaven. And we're going to talk to the Lord tonight. Amen. And I believe the Lord is just going to inspire us and encourage us. And we're going to leave this place different than what we came. Father, I'm grateful for the wonderful privilege and the awesome opportunity we have to be known as your children and to be able to call you our Father. Thank you for loving me. And thank you, Lord, that that love can flow through me to your people. And I pray now, Lord, that you would allow me to speak, Father, led by your Spirit, neglecting, Father, my flesh, and let faith rise in the building and so that we can reap the rewards and the benefits of that faith, even in this place tonight. I give you great praise, and I'm thankful for it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Why don't we put our hands together and give the Lord great praise? Praise the Lord. I do have a timer here to keep up with how long I go. It doesn't have anything to do with how long I go. It's just so me and my wife don't have to argue about it after church. You can be seated. She's like, you went 2 hours. I'm like, no, I only went an hour and 37 minutes. I got it right here. I'm glad my wife's here. And all of y'all ought to be glad my wife's here. Amen. When I was a kid, preacher's kid, I had signs from my dad. he'd say, "Everybody raise your hands," and I'd go, "In Jesus' name, be quiet." I remember one time he said, "I need some more water." I said, "Oh, please, drink so much you got to go to the bathroom and quit. Keep feeding them water." I noticed they've got like 20 bottles up here for me tonight. So, amen. Proud of young people being here on a Saturday night in church. Amen. Front row. That is so awesome. So many other places that the world would love to have you. But here you are in the church house. It's admirable. My parents are missionaries, and they are currently, they're the regional director for all of Europe and the Middle East, and they've now live, or they're based out of St. Louis, Missouri here. They're your neighbors. But for the majority, for actually all of my life, I went to the mission field when I was 17 months old, which went over to Germany. My parents went in the, my dad went in 78, and my we were appointed in 84 and then got there in 86, but my sister was born on the mission field, and so my life was pretty much lived on the mission field. As missionaries and fully appointed missionaries, they are dependent upon the financial support from the local churches, and so it is that you have missionaries that travel, or what we call furlough or deputation. They go church to church. And have you ever had a missionary come by? Well, I was raised as a missionary's kid, and we would travel. I've traveled to every state and been in church in every state except for Maine and Hawaii. Can you believe it? They left Hawaii off the deal. And I was robbed as a kid. And I could have went to Maine, but my dad let me stay with some preacher's kids in Rhode Island and play street hockey. So I missed Maine because of street hockey. So I need to get back up there and taste some lobster or something so I can say I've been to every state. But anyway, I did four different deputational journeys all across America. And it was kind of fun as you would travel from church to church. And really, Dad would put a little Dutch hat on me and wooden shoes on my sister, and we would get up in front of you, the people, and try to impress you to give us lots of money so that we could go back to Holland and be missionaries. And that was the mission. Normally, we'd travel a year and a half to 2 years in our journeys. So I learned as just a young child that there are trends that take place in the church and Christianity. We sing songs, and they become kind of a song to a time period that links to these songs we're singing right now. We won't be singing these in 5 years, or probably even nowadays you won't be singing them in 24 minutes, but they switch them out so fast. And amen, because they're just the same words repeated over and over and over. It's kind of not, I could be a songwriter in 2018. All you got to do is, oh, 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 oh. I was like, if I preach like they write songs, I wouldn't make anything. Come on, nobody come hear me. Unbelievable. That's just my opinion about that. Why are we oohing and ohing? I mean, say something. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I can't think of anything to say here. I'm just going to put O's. You know what I mean? Anyway, now, sorry. My wife, you want to get on to me for that one? But I still think it's true. I like songs with content. And anyway, but there was a song about at one deputation. I was probably 13 years of age, 14 years of age. And we sing the same. So I went to church. Now, guys, we went to church on deputation Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sometimes they'd have Saturday off. Sometimes they'd have three services on Sunday. People had mission services back in those days where they had special service just for the missionary. And so we would sing these songs. And there was a song that was very famous at this time called Faith, 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 Just a Little Bit of Faith. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot. Just use what you got. Boom, 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 faith. Faith, faith, just a little bit of faith, faith, faith. And then, boy, we'd get to going. You can tell it's not the mid-90s, or people would already have been running the aisles and rolling and slain in the spirit. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith, 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 faith. You don't need a whole lot. Oh, just use what you got. Faith, faith. Boy, we love that song. And I can remember as we went home from our deputational tour, that particular deputation, it was always quite emotional. The entire family would go. And many of our church members, there would be 40, sometimes 50, 60 people that drove our family to the airport. We would leave and we would not return for 5 years, 4 to 5 years. My grandmother, would wave goodbye. My aunts and uncles would be saying goodbye to their niece, their nephew, their grandson and granddaughters, knowing that they would look different, and usually I wouldn't recognize my uncles or cousins when I came home. And so you can imagine there was tears. Let me tell you something, with every great call is a great cost. And I'm not here to make you feel sorry for missionaries, but I'm going to tell you, especially in that day, we didn't travel back and forth at all, and there was great sacrifice that went with the call of God, and I'm thankful my parents made that sacrifice. And so my mother would always cry, and it was very, very sad. And I remember getting on the airplane, and we would take off, and my mother was of the opinion that holding on to my knee with great, great, great intensity would decrease our chances of crashing. So I would have claw marks in my knees as she'd be holding on and fearful that we were going to crash into the ground. And tears would streaming down her face for most of the flight as she had waved goodbye to all that she knew and loved. It was in another country where she gave birth to my sister. The doctor didn't speak her language. She didn't know their culture. They sold their house and gave up everything. It was at that moment, I remember as a 14, 15-year-old teenager, that I looked over at my mother with tears streaming down her face, fear of the airplane ascending into the air, that the song that had been sung the past 2 years over and over throughout this deputational tour came into my brain. You know, it's one of those songs that gets in your mind, you don't really want it in your mind, you're like hitting yourself, trying to get this out of your brain, but it would get in there and just get stuck. And faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot. Just use what you got. And I looked at my mother and I remember thinking, wow, you don't need a whole lot. Just use what you got. Little faith. And so that moment was permanently etched, young people, into my memory. When God called me to preach just a few years later, I said, I'm going to preach on faith, the foundation of all that we are. So I said, I'm going to use that story, and I'm going to preach about you don't need a whole lot, just use what you got. And so that story, that memory now, and I was going to use that with my sermon. And so I started studying the scriptures, young people, and I started looking for a place where Jesus compliments or commends little faith, and where he says, well, you don't have a lot, you did your best, but be it unto you. Well, you kind of tried. You weren't real faithful, but you kind of tried and did your best so you can have your miracle. And surely there's a place in Scripture that goes along with the words of those songs. You don't have to do very much. Just do a little tiny bit. Because, you know, we get excited about that because it lends itself to the propensity of humanity. We want to be the people that do the least amount but get the greatest reward. That's just who we are as people. So we love that song. You know, I don't have to do much, but I get a lot. Ooh, bring that on. That's why people play in the lottery and go into Las Vegas, because I don't have to do much and I could get rich. It's a lie. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus compliment somebody and say, well, you know what, you kind of half-heartedly did it so you can have the miracle. Actually, it's reverse, contrary to the fact. Contrary, what you have is Jesus looking at his disciples saying, oh, ye of little faith. It's not commending, it's reprimanding them. He's saying, and you can almost hear frustration in his voice when he's talking about little faith. Like, my goodness, guys, if you could just believe at a higher level, you could be recipients of great things, and great things could happen in your life. On the contrary, every time you find the words great and faith next to each other in your Bible, every time without exception, there's a miracle taking place in a verse nearby. I've come to just talk to some young people, perhaps some moms and dads here this evening, that are tired of the chapters of your life closing with no verses of miracles, and tell you that the answer to that is the elevation of our faith, that the time has come that we are not happy just to have faith, not just to have a little faith, but to say, Father, I'm ready to come on. Are there some young people tonight that say, I'm going to allow my faith to grow up? Some of you need to put a cap and gown on your faith. Come on, some of you need to say, it's time to get out of high school. It's time to put my faith to work. It's time for my faith to receive benefits of my faith. And I know how it is. I probably ticked off some people because I got on your faith, 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 just a little bit of faith song. And you're like, there he is preaching against my favorite song. I got it on the cassette player in my car. And Jesus said, if you can have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say this mountain, be thou removed. Isn't it amazing? We're always looking for the scriptures to where we can do the least. You know what I mean? He said, if you can have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say this mountain, be thou removed, cast seed. Nothing is impossible to you, you know? We love that one. But Jesus doesn't say if you can have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. He said if you can have faith as a grain of mustard seed. It's not about the size of the seed. It's about the potential in the seed. And I know it might be a bit elementary for the great theologians of Harvest Ministries, but if you could be a mustard seed for a moment and be the least of all is what Scripture says, just 1 in 7 billion, that's purchased, not just, you don't purchase one seed, it's one of many. And the farmer takes you back to the farm, but the farmer's not happy just to leave you as a little seed. He's going to put you in the dirt, am I right? He's not going to put you in the dirt. He's going to put you a hole and put a mountain on top of you. But if you can have faith as that seed, anything becomes possible. Come on, somebody. Anything becomes possible with great faith. With great faith. Great faith. The just shall live by faith, at least 5 times Scripture. It doesn't say you live by finance. It doesn't say you live by friendships. It doesn't say you live by bank accounts. Faith is not measured by the length of a car or the size of a house. It's not measured by the thickness of one's wallet. It's not measured by how long your car is, but it's measured by your ability to stand up against opposition. It's measured by your ability to stand up against conflict in your life and say things like, though he slay me, yet will I trust him when I don't have a penny in my pocket, but I can say Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. That's faith. That's faith. And so we read here in the Bible tonight in our reading in Matthew chapter 15 about a lady whose child is filled with demonic spirits, and she's passionately pursuing after Jesus Christ. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Jesus, she's just driving everybody crazy. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Have mercy on me, Jesus. And you know what the Bible says that Jesus did? We read it. It says he didn't answer anything. He totally ignored her. He totally ignored her. Now, there's a lot of things you can do to me, but there's one thing I don't like, and it's being ignored. Come on. I don't like sitting at the table and we're having a conversation and you're on Facebook. That's a good way to have your phone end up in my Coca-Cola. You know what? All moms and dads all say amen right there. I don't like it. I don't like it when I get ignored. I don't like it when you pretend like I don't even exist. But Jesus, he ignores her. He doesn't answer her a word. He doesn't give her any kind of indication he's going to help her. But you know what she did when she was ignored? The Bible says she just kept on asking, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Because here's the first characteristic of great faith. If you're going to have great faith and you want to see miracles, you got to learn this. Great faith never gives up. Oh, wow, that's complex. Yep, that's all there is to it. Great faith never, look at your neighbor and say, never give up. Do you realize the enemy's solution is the same no matter the problem? You ever notice that, young people? That no matter what you're going through, he's got the same solution. You know what it is? Give up. Quit. Stop. Do less for God. Don't sit on the front row. Give up your Sunday school class. Give up your ministry. It would be okay if you just laid off. But great faith says, I might not have any goosebumps and I don't know where God is, but I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep being faithful. I'm going to keep, come on, I'm going to keep doing what I've always done, because great faith, great faith never, ever, ever gives up. In the late 70s, a man married a woman. They desired to have children several years and attempted to do so. Went to different specialists, finally came to the conclusion that the woman had a disease, she would never have children. But the woman was a person of great faith who started attending. She was Pentecostal. She would go to church, made up her mind. She said, I'm going to go to every altar call, whether it's youth revival, Wednesday night Bible study, whether it's a camp meeting or whatever. And she went up to the altar after she got that doctor's report, and they prayed for her, and God did not heal her. 2.5 years later, after every altar call, every prayer line, every kind of prayer request, finally, Oregon District, July 30th of 1980, T.W. Barnes laid his hands on her. And I'm telling you, 9 months, April 30th of 1981, Matthew Tuttle was born. I'm here today, young people, because I had a mama. Then when the doctor said it wasn't possible, she said, I believe it's possible, and I'm not going to give up. I don't care what the enemy said. Doesn't matter what the doctors declared. We have a God who can do absolutely anything. You've just got to make up your mind. I'm not going to give up. You've got to make up your mind. I'm never going to quit. I'm going to keep believing. When everybody says give up, you keep on keeping on. When everybody else says stop, you keep on. It might not have happened tonight, but I'll be back tomorrow. And if I don't get it tomorrow, I'll be back the next week. And I'll be back the next week. But one thing I'll never do, and that's stop believing. I got to keep believing. I've got to keep believing. I've got to keep believing. I remember being at General Conference when I was just a teenager, and I was 17 years old, and I'd just come back from the Netherlands. And General Conference in those days was like Youth Congress in these days. There was thousands of people, and when you're 17 years old and there's thousands of apostolics, that's a lot of pretty girls. I finally got their attention. I said, pretty girls. They're So I can't say I was there for extremely spiritual reasons. Well, finding a beautiful apostolic Christian wife, that's a pretty spiritual reason. Amen, brother. I finally got him to say amen. Ain't nothing wrong with fishing as long as you're fishing in the right pond. Come on, somebody. Well, all moms and dads ought to amen that. You should have been running the aisles unless you want your kids fishing in the other ponds. Come on, somebody. And so I was there. I wasn't in the altar. I was up high, better view. I had binoculars. And I remember Brother Stone King was preaching the meeting. And there was nobody in the halls because the power of God, you know, the power of God was hot when there's nobody in the halls at General Conference. And so it was so powerful in the meeting. I went in. And I remember just standing up there. And I'm watching this unfold. I'm telling you, he just got up, hadn't even preached. Holy Ghost just moved so powerfully. And there's a man that's rolled his wheelchair up to the front there. He's in a wheelchair. And you know how the camera like superimposes the images up onto the screen so the people up there can see what's going on. So the cameraman is zooming in on different people. And I noticed there's my sister. She's made it to the front. She's right up there in the altar. And this man wheels up right next to my little sister. Time she's probably 15 years old. And so we began to pray, and I watched right there as a miracle unfolded before my eyes. And after church, I bumped into my sister, and she said, Matthew, you're not going to believe what happened. She says, I know you probably weren't even in there. I said, no, I really was. I saw it. She said, I got to tell you about it. She said, there was a man that came up next to me. His legs were literally like this in the wheelchair. She said, I didn't know what to do. I'm just 15 years old, and see the enemy would like to tell you that since you're just a teenager, you can't be used by God. But if you can have great faith, you can lay your hands on the sick and they can recover, and nothing becomes impossible to them that believe. She said, I didn't know how to pray. She said, I don't even know all the Bible verses that I should say. She said, I just put my hands on him and I begin to say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. She said, Matt, next thing you know, those legs begin to turn as they begin to straighten out. I said, Anna, I watched him get up. He got up out of the wheelchair and he began to dance, and it took him a while because they had to teach him how to walk. But before the night was over, he was running and shouting and dancing and praising God. Hallelujah. He
had been in the wheelchair for 36 years. He'd been born into Pentecost. He told her later, he says, I've been to every altar call. I've been to every prayer line. I've had every kind of prophet and ministry pray for me. But here it was, a little 15-year-old girl. Let me ask you, young people, what would have happened had he stopped believing when he was 21? What if he'd have said, you know what, it must just be God's will for me to live in a wheelchair. It's amazing how we can spiritualize living in misery. Well, maybe it's just God's will that I live in continual conflict. Maybe it's God's will that I'm always sick. Maybe it's God's will. No, I don't believe that. I might go to my grave dying of it, but I'll go saying he's a healer. He's a way maker. And maybe I go to my grave crippled, but it's not because he's not able to heal me. He's still a healer. He's still a way maker. He's just looking for somebody that says, I'll roll it up here till I'm 85. And if I die at 85, I'll die believing he's able to do it. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Great faith, young people, you got to get it in your spirit. Great faith isn't your ability to wear a white suit and make perfect peanut brittle. Come on, great faith isn't how pretty you look or who's in your family tree. It doesn't matter if you're Dr. David Bernard. It's amazing to me. People introduce themselves like this. I'm so-and-so. Or they won't even tell you the name. They're like, hi, I'm Brother Bernard's second cousin's nephew's best friend. And one time, a drop of Brother Urshan's sweat landed on me. And I'm like, who cares? Who cares? I'm not discrediting. I have a great, great heritage. I love my heritage. I'm proud of my heritage. But whether you are 16th generation or you've been in it 16 minutes matters not to God. He can use you. He can. Your mom doesn't have to be a preacher. Your dad doesn't have to be, come on, a deacon. Come on. Your dad might be a drug addict. Your mom might have been a prostitute. But he can still use you. He can still use you. Yes, he can. 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 Somebody begin to give him praise. Come on, if you believe it for your family, he can use you. So it's not about who's in your family tree. It's about your ability to say, I'll never give up. And if you'll make up your mind, and the devil will give you plenty of exits on the road of faith, but if you'll make up your mind, I'm never going to quit. It's that easy. I'm never going to quit. It might get hard. It might get heavy. It might be challenging. And I'm going to tell you, there'll come days you don't feel goosebumps. You don't know where God is. You're frustrated and confused, and life doesn't make sense. I believe God, but friends, I don't understand God. I don't know why great things happen to horrible people and horrible things happen to great people. I don't know why great Christians die horrible deaths. I wish I did. Brother McCoy probably knows the answer to those questions, but I don't know those things. I've just made up my mind. When I can't understand him, I'm just going to believe him, young people. And through my life, I'm just going to put one foot in front of the other. And I'm never going to quit. I'm just going to make up my mind that my prize is attained by simply going on. That he that endures, there's things I got to put the seatbelt on and put it in four-wheel drive to get through. But if I endure to the end, the same shall be saved. You got to make it to the end. I got to make it to the end. And so it is that great faith never gives up. So she just keeps on. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Well, finally, she drives the church board crazy. And she gets church people mad at her. And they're ticked off. And they go up to Jesus. And they're like, Jesus, Brother Pastor McCoy is a great Jesus, isn't he? He did good being Jesus last night. Jesus, you know, the lady back there always screaming and shouting. She's driving us crazy. See, desperate people don't worry about driving people crazy. People that really have a need don't worry about what other people think about them. Now, people that aren't desperate, they can sit there with a problem and let other people's opinions dictate their breakthrough. I'm not really here for people like that tonight. But this weekend, there's a mama here. There's a teenager that lays your head on your pillow, tears stream down your face, and you're tired of living in misery. I'm here for you. You can have a breakthrough if you just get desperate enough to stop worrying, well, what's the church board going to say about me? What's Sally going to say about me? What's Johnny going to say about me? Who cares? I got to have a breakthrough. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Send her away, Lord. She's driving us crazy. And Jesus goes to the lady and says, look, chick, we're not here for you, baby. You got to go. Now, look, I don't know how it works here in Missouri, but over in Texas, you just ignore me, and I'm already ticked off. But I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But what would you do if Pastor McCoy got up here tonight and said, you know, I mean, I'll tell you what I'd have done. If he'd have got up here tonight and said, you know what? We're really not here for gentlemen that are over 6'4" and have dark suits on with dark ties and black shoes. And if they're from the mission field, we're really not here for those type. We would prefer they didn't even come to this church. I would look at my dark shoes, my dark tie, my 6'5" self. I would find the offering plate, take my offering out of it, and some of y'all's offering. I'd put all the offering up in my pockets and be like, oh, take that. I'll see you later. I ain't going to have nothing to do with this church. I mean, my goodness, they didn't shake my hand when I came in the door. Nobody was nice to me. Now they're getting up there preaching about how they don't even want. That's how you would respond to. Sometimes it feels that's how God responds to your request. He's silent, and now there's opposition. What does she do, though? Because, see, the question is not what you would do, because what I've been doing ain't been working. But what she did worked. What does great faith, because little faith gets its feelings hurt, but what does great faith do? What did she do? What did she do? I think it's verse 25. Put it back up there real quick. If it's not, we'll find it together. Great faith. Here's what she did. She came. Then she came and she worshiped him after she had been ignored. She worshiped him after she had been rejected. When everybody was, see, y'all can't even worship God when we've got an air-conditioned building and a beautiful sound system. But she can, but that's because there's little faith. But great faith. Great faith doesn't need a song. Great faith doesn't need the new modern. Great faith says, I'm in the middle of hell. I'm going through adversity. Everything's messed up in my life. But I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my. I've got to make a joyful noise. Oh, come on, this is great faith. Great faith gives God praise. Great faith gives God praise when it doesn't know what to do. Great faith gives God praise when it can't feel God. Can I get somebody to give God praise by faith? Can you give him praise by, not by what I feel, but just what I believe? I believe you, God. I believe you. I believe you, God. I believe you. I believe you, God. I believe you. That's faith. Great faith worships when it doesn't feel it. So the first characteristics of great faith is it never gives up. The second characteristic is it always worships. See, you can see someone with little faith because this is how they sit in church. Unless they get a revelatory truth about facts they've believed in their whole lives, then they may award you with an applause. Ooh, I've never thought of that before. Quite dandy, preacher. And if you're real lucky, they'll reward you with their presence at the altar. You know what? He did so good, I think I'll go to the front. Lucky preacher. Like it's some kind of reward, like your stamp of approval is upon the sermon by your presence in the altar. You don't kill it. First of all, you don't come to an altar to get stuff. You go to an altar to bring stuff. And the reason people don't come to the altar ain't got nothing to do with the preachers, because they got nothing to give. Or they just don't want to give anything. And so, come on, somebody. Ooh, it got a little tight there, but it's right. Come on. Great faith doesn't need a new song. It doesn't need, man, hey, it can praise God anytime. In a matter of fact, the harder it gets on a person of great faith, the louder they shout. The tighter it gets in church when the devil's coming against us, the more they preach with the preacher, the greater their faith is. They're up on their feet saying, yeah. Woo, he's able. He can do it. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. Above all, we can ask or think. He's the mighty God, the everlasting. This is great faith. Great faith doesn't sit on its pew when praises are going up because it's got a need. And I'm driven by the need. I'm driven by my need. So I've got to praise him. I've got to praise him. It's innately placed inside of you. It's a commandment in Scripture. I remember starting a church in, I was telling the young people, we started a church in the city of Amsterdam when I was a boy. And I told him, we got a dad worked out a discount on the rent of this community center. He told him, because Saturday night they always had a party. There was a full bar in the back of this community center. And so he got this discount. He told the owner, he said, look, if you let us rent it, I've got a janitor, a professional janitor, that'll clean it for you. You don't have to pay a janitor. Just take that off my rent. And so the guy's like, oh, that's a good deal, man. I'll do that. So dad got cheaper rent. And so he brought in the professional janitor named Matthew Tuttle. And I told him in Holland, drugs are legal. Prostitution is a very, very, very liberal society, very wicked. So every Saturday night, they'd have their parties, you know. They'd be drinking. They'd get high, throwing up all over the place sometimes. Not every Sunday, but some Sundays I'd come in. There'd be throw up on beer bottles and jazz. I mean, it'd take me a while. And I had a big bucket with a mop, and I put a bunch of bleach in it. Man, I ruined a lot of dress pants. You know, I mean, little white splatters all over them in that bleach. And I'd bleach that sucker, and then I'd set up chairs. Now, at the time, starting the church, there was only 5 people in our church, and really there's only 1 member because it was me, Mom, Dad, Anna, and then Oma Smith. Oma was 81 years old. So we had, you know, we had this 1 member. We had 5 people that were coming, and so I set up 10 chairs. I was like, you know what, going big. Go big or go home. And my dad comes out, and he's like, son, I want 50 chairs, 25 on this side, 25 on that side. I'm like, Dad, come on, man. We got 5 people. He's like, we ain't always going to have 5 people. Set it up for 50. He said, how many chairs we got? I said, well, we only got 50. And I said, thank God we only got 50. He'd set up 100 if he could. So we set up 50 chairs out there, 25 this side, 25 that side. Mom made a curtain to cover up the bar in case anybody got confused about which wine to talk about, you know. And so we started having church, and it was pretty bad. I'm gonna be honest with you. Ain't gonna lie, it wasn't great. We didn't have air conditioning. It get hot in the summer, get cold in the winter. No heat much. It was just kind of a rat hole place. It was horrible. And we didn't. Now I'm gonna just be honest. We didn't have a Yamaha XC32. We didn't have drums. Y'all have drums. Y'all don't just have drums. Y'all have electric drums. Look at this sucker. Look at that. Looks like it's from outer space, like a space shuttle just ascended into this building. And this dude's over there hitting it, and it sounds like a drum. Unbelievable. Hope the player's not an alien. In a way we are. We're not from here. Look at this. We didn't have a bass player. This sucker's got a bass. He don't just have a bass. He's got a Fender jazz bass. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 string. Who's the bass player? He left church. That's all right. They've been known to do that. Look at this organ. Y'all have an organ. And then you're like, hey, guys, let's get some microphones. No, let's get 2. No, let's get 23. Get them all wireless. We didn't have wireless microphones. We had 1 mic hooked up to a boombox on a string that was about 1 foot long. So I was like, I had to lead worship. It was like this. Imagine me. I'd jerk that thing out. The boombox would be chasing me around the church, you know. Look at this. Y'all have screens. You're like, let's get some screens. Now let's get 3. We'll just throw one up back there for the fun of it. You know what I mean? There's four. Someone corrected me. There's four. You have four screens. Four, ladies and gentlemen. And then you're like, let's put some pews in there, but make sure they're padded so everybody's derriere is comfortable. You know, we don't want anybody to be uncomfortable. Lord, I wish they weren't padded. Maybe y'all'd stand up a little more. Sound systems, lighting. You got your own balcony up there with all the technology. People have their own personal space. I mean, I hope it's on video because I've just hit the big time here, ladies and gentlemen. If they could only see me now. We had my mama on an accordion. And she's allowed me to say this. She's horrible. She's the worst accordion player in the whole world. She only knows three songs. Now, they all sound the same. It's just different speeds. It's either or one of them was Amazing Grace. The other one was Because He Lives. And the other one was Praise Him. Those are the only three songs she knew how to play. My dad played the clarinet, and it sounded like this. Like my voice tonight. It was, look at this, they got pedals up here. What do these do, like launch rockets? Or is this like the nuclear codes here and stuff? Unbelievable. They've all got in-ear monitors up here. I mean, come on, guys, this is awesome. We didn't have none of that. We had a bar room with, and I was the song leader. Listen to me. It sounded like I could sing. I remember one Sunday I'd set up everything, and I'm sitting on the front row just sitting there. Dad comes up to me. He's like, son, you should be praying about the song service. I'm like, what am I going to pray about? What song to sing? We only know three. Maybe I should pray about the order. So I'm like, Lord, you want me to sing the fast one first or the fast one last? You just tell me and I'll follow, Lord. I'm your servant. So I worked out a strategy. Worked pretty good for me. I started slow and worked my way high. Now they do it the opposite nowadays. Total disaster. If they wanted to have revival, they'd start slow and work fast. That's how you have revival. But now they start fast and down you go. I was like, oh my goodness, I was having such a great time. Now you're breaking my heart. You know? So I'd start with Amazing Grace. You know, Amazing Grace. I love it. Hey, I'm going to tell you what happened. We had revival. In one service, we doubled our membership. Come on, I see some of you laughing like, you mean you just got one more person? Yeah, but doesn't it sound better when I say double? See, sometimes you've just got to find a way to make the devil look bad. Some of you find a way to make God look bad. I just say, now it ain't lying, it just sounds better. And the truth is, if you look back at this week, something good happened, and you can make the devil look bad instead of complaining. Well, we just had one person. No, we doubled in one service. You've got a reason to rejoice. You've got a reason to shout. You've got a reason to dance. You've just got to put it in perspective. Hallelujah. One service, we doubled our attendance, and we now have two people. Annie Kopenka prayed. Oh, y'all, that's right. Keep on getting excited. Woo! One service, Annie Kopenka. She's 67 years old. We instantly put her in the youth group. Youth group, I mean, I didn't have anybody to date. It was my sister, you know what I mean? So Annie's in the, and I was like, no, Annie, I'm sorry. I'm only 15. Annie's in the youth in the youth group, and I'm going to be honest, she had about all the energy of all y'all put together times 1,000. She'd sit here, scoot over, bub, I'm sorry, you're sitting in Annie's seat. She'd sit here on the second row, and I'd lead my songs, you know, but then I'd always start slow. Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Man, she's up on her feet. I mean, mom ain't even got the intro. And she's like, yeah. And her hands are trembling. And we go into Because He Lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know, and man, her hands are trembling. I know he holds the future and life is worth. I'm telling you, she's just trembling all over. Life's worth the living just because he lives. Man, the Holy Ghost is all, she's just shaking. And then we bust out the fast song. Praise him. Come on, praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him till the sun goes down. We only had one fast song, so every Sunday I wrote my own personal fast song. So the next Sunday I would sing, love him, love him, love him in the morning, love him in the noontime, love him, love him. And then the next Sunday it would be peace, 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 peace in the morning. Any spiritual word I could replace praise with, I would put there. Love, peace, joy, anything. Boy, she'd worship. But man, if I really wanted to have church young people, and like I'm going for the blowout, no preaching, you know what I'm talking about. I would say, Jesus. Well, it's Jesus. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noon. And she could not take it anymore. She'd start kicking her leg like this, and you'd hear metal chairs start flying all over the place. And it'd be like, gee, and you'd hear, gee, and my dad, and I'm singing, and I can't hardly sing. And she's going, oh, I got to give him praise. I just got it. It smelled like beer and throw up mixed together with a little bleach mixed in. And mama couldn't play and I couldn't sing. But she had found, hey, young people, hey, Harvest Ministries, you've got an electric drum set and 21 cordless mics, an air-conditioned building. And you ought to praise him. I said you ought to praise him. One day, she's going to stand in judgment with you. One day in judgment, you'll stand together. And I remember one Sunday, man, I'd sit, and I was always a little nervous to invite my friends. Because, you know, what if Annie went off? You know what I mean? Y'all same way, right? You're like, oh, I'm going to bring my friend Buddy, but if he comes, I sure, Sister Sally, don't get blessed. I'll be embarrassed. But the best thing that could happen is Sister Sally get blessed and little Johnny discover there's a church that's as crazy about Jesus as the world is about the hell things that they go. Come on, somebody. Ooh, I just feel like this is what the world's looking for. So I had my 25 chairs set up, 25 on this side and 25 on that side. And Annie came by. Here, this means take my hand. And she took my hand, and it was just us. Oma wasn't there yet. The 81-year-old took her a little more time. She said, Matt, I zou je misschien graag willen weten waarom ik die gekke dans doe. What, you know what I said? Of course.
No.
Not wrong answer. I said yes, because she asked me, hey Matthew, do you know I dance really really passionately. Do you know why I dance sometimes with so much passion? She said, would you like to know? And I said,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaks Dutch, ladies and gentlemen. Give him a hand. I said, yeah, I want to know. I want to know what's up with the crazy dance. Because I work hard, set up all those chairs, and you knock them all over. And she said, Matthew, we stood right here. She said, I'm giving God praise for all the people that are going to sit on this row. She said, and my sister, I've got four of them and one brother. I'm giving praise because they're going to sit next to me on this row. And she said, and I'm giving God praise for our international ministry. They're going to sit on this row. She said, I'm giving God praise for my cousins. They're going to sit over here. She said, I'm giving God praise for our young people. They're going to sit right here. She said, I was wondering if maybe you could help me praise for the people that aren't here yet. And I said, I'll praise. And from that day on, there's not been a service that I haven't praised for an empty pew. And I wonder at Harvest Ministry, who gave him praise for that pew? Who praised God for this pew? Who gave him praise for these people? Who praised him for those? Who praised him for the new building? I said, who danced? Because come on, it ain't going to happen till you learn how to. Well, I don't see it yet. If you can't praise for what you don't see, you'll never see it. So I'm giving God praise. And today, all four sisters are in the church, and the brother, he's already gone to be with the Lord, but he was saved. She's got 20 family members that are in the church. Her niece nephew is the vice president of the United Pentecostal Church of the Netherlands. Her other nephew is a pastor in the church in Amsterdam. But it all started with Annie Kopenka saying, I'll go crazy for what I cannot see. That's what great faith does. Can I get a young person to worship for the youth revival that's coming? Great faith never gives up. Great faith, come on. Can a young person worship God? You know what I believe? I believe it's God's will that this isn't the sanctuary for the adults. I think this would make a great youth chapel. Oh, that's a little big. Then go ahead and get on out of Dodge, baby, because you're with people that are serving a big God. A great God deserves great faith. Great faith. Great. Hallelujah. 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 Great faith always worships. Look at your neighbor and say, great faith never gives up. Look at your great neighbor and say, great faith always worships. So what you going to do when you come to church and you don't feel like giving God praise? What you going to do when all the when it's all out and you're empty? You're going to put your hands together and you're going to say, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit believing. I'm not going to quit trusting God. I'm going to worship. As you remain standing, he looked at her. He said, I'm not here for dogs. She's been ignored. She's been rejected. And now she's been called a dog. You'd be gone. But she said, truth, Lord, dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. The characteristics of great faith, they never give up. They always worship. And they refuse to be offended. You're going to get your feelings hurt, young people. I know we're not. Last night, if you didn't get to shout, you should have got your shout in, because tonight's just a lesson. You never give up. If you can get this in your spirit, you'll make it to heaven. You never give up. You always praise God. Always. Always. It's Wednesday night and you're like, it's Sunday morning. You remember Annie Kopenka next time you pat a cake. Come on, you think about Annie Kopenka next time you just kind of half-heartedly sit through a service. No, 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 no. That's not great faith. Never gives up. And then when you're done wrong, as you will be done, for it's impossible, but that they will come, you say, I refuse to accept that offense. I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on and say, truth, Lord, call me any pastor. You preach any way you want to preach to me, pastor, because he's going to preach and it's going to hurt your feelings sometimes. Come on, church now is marketed like a massage center.
Like it's Harvest Ministries Day Spa. You know what I mean? Ooh, man, I just love Brother McCoy because he makes me feel so good. Then he's probably not preaching to your salvation. Come on. I don't want some church that just makes me feel good. First response to the first sermon was they were pricked at their hearts. If your heart's not pricked, it's probably not right. Every once in a while, come on. Hey, young people, I'm trying to help you. I said every once in a while your heart's going to get pricked and your toes are going to get stepped on. But your response, great faith's response to a pricked heart and sore toes is, truth, Lord, you're right. I should change. I should change the way I dress. I maybe should get rid of some of the music. You're right, Pastor. The way I'm living ain't right. But but I know that the answer is here, and I'm never going anywhere. I'm never, ever, ever giving up. If that's your mindset tonight, you know what I want us to do? I just feel to do this tonight. I want us to begin to pray. Last night, we praised God for us. Remember that? Man, y'all have like short-term memory loss here. I'm like, y'all remember last night? Y'all like, good Lord, this is good news. I know what to preach tomorrow. I'm just going to preach this again. They can't remember to yesterday. Man, you got a good deal here, brother. One sermon, 30 years. Whew. Nope, we hadn't taken up the offering. Take up 15 offerings, y'all like. Remember last night? We praised for us, right? Tonight, we're going to pray and praise for what's coming. Tonight, we're coming to the altar. Not for what I need, but for what I'm going to give. What you going to give? What am I going to give, preacher? I'm going to give praise. For what? What am I praising for? For revival that's coming. I'm praising for every teenager that's going to get the Holy Ghost in 2018. I'm praising him for my family that's going to pray back through. I'm praising him for the girl I don't even know. I'm praising him. I'm praising. I'm just giving God praise for revival. Oh, but preacher, we're having revival. But it ain't nothing like what's coming. Great faith is about to unlock heaven, and the greatest revival we've ever had is about to baptize Harvest Ministries. It's about to fall in the house like it's never happened before. You ought to run. All across the building, we're going to lift our hands together. Worship is coming. Here's what you've got. I want you right now to get a name of somebody you know that's lost. Here's what I would like us to do as a collective body. If you're a believer in God, I'd like you to join us in this altar call. Amen. If you don't believe in God, that's fine. We don't want to offend you. You don't have to come. But if you're a believer in God, that's the only requirement. I'd like you to join us here, whether you're young or old. And I just wonder if you could get with somebody. Amen. Link up with somebody and believe with them right now. Get somebody's name that you know is lost, that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, that's never been baptized in Jesus' name. And I want you just to lift your hand and begin to give God praise for them. And as you're praying for them, heaven's going to open over you and you're going to start speaking in tongues and God's going to fill you with the boldness to reach this world. Come on, Harvest Ministries, it's here right now. Come on, that's it, that's it, that's it, young people. Come on, that's it, that's it, that's it. Amana kota yama aya. Hiana karama siya taratiya ya babaha. Kiana yala rabasana yoturia kaya babahaya. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, Jesus.
for the harvest that's coming, Lord. Let it baptize this church. Let faith arise. Come on, every mother in the building, every son, every brother, every sister, every name that's being whispered, every name that's being wept, every name that's being shouted to heaven, let it come before you, Father, and open up heaven, and let boldness fall into the hearts of men and women tonight. Let the boldness of the Holy Ghost baptize every young man and every young girl here tonight, and let us leave changed and transformed by the power of God, in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Let's lift our voices. Come on, lift your voices, Harvest Ministry. Come on, Mom, it's not time to give up. It's not time to learn to live with the misery. If the baby's alive, I don't have to accept defeat as my destiny, but I can claim it in the name of Jesus.